brought us the light of guidance and salvation. He brought us the light of guidance and salvation. The majestic prophet, alayhi salam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. There are many virtues and blessings of reciting Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sheikh Majduddin Firozabadi rahmatullah alayhi has stated that when you sit within people, when you sit in a gathering, when you are around people and you recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wa sallallahu ala Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will designate an angel that will keep you from backbiting. And when you depart from that gathering and once again recite what? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wa sallallahu ala Muhammad, the angel will keep others from backbiting against you. Allahu Akbar. Look at the power in the name of Allah and His beloved Habib. When you glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and then wa sallallahu ala Muhammad, you praise, send salutations upon the Messenger of Allah, because now you have made this gathering a gathering of dhikr, you have made this gathering a gathering of the remembrance of Allah, Allah will designate an angel to come there and to stop you, to protect you from backbiting. And when you recite the same dua, same salat, when you leave, the angel will keep others from backbiting against you. Allahu Akbar. This is such a beautiful... We should make this a habit, actually. You know, our conversations, our gatherings, they're filled with so much riba. They're filled with so much backbiting. Do this test for yourself. Next time you're with your friends, you're with your family, you're with your work colleagues, you're with your... whatever who you're with, ponder over the fact that this conversation that I'm having, if I cut out backbiting from it, if I think about how much I'm speaking about other people, if I take that out of my conversation, how much conversation will remain? How much conversation will be left behind? Why? Because we all know whenever somebody sits down in a group of friends, the first thing is, oh, do you know what he did? Oh, he or she did. Oh, no way she did that. Yeah, he did that. Now, I knew he was like that. So this is how we start our conversations. Straight away, the first things come from our mouth is ghibat, backbiting. And the Prophet said, doing ghibat is like eating the flesh of your dead brother. So we should try to refrain from this. And one way you can refrain from this is by the virtues of the durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That when you occupy your tongue with the dhikr of the Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will automatically divert your heart away from those matters and make you talk about your beloved. So we should try to make a habit that whenever we sit in gatherings, whenever we sit with people, we should send salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And especially this dua, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wa sallallahu ala Muhammad, when we recite this, then there will be an unseen help towards us upon refraining from backbiting. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Welcome back to the program, The Majestic Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which we talk about, you guessed it, the majesty of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the obligation to love him, why it's important to love him, why we need to attach our hearts to him, why we need to think and remember and reflect upon his teachings essentially. So this series that we have brought to you has been about that. There has been many aspects in this. We are currently talking about the beautiful characteristics and the sunnahs and the way he sallallahu alayhi wasallam lived his life, so we may gain something from it. And by gaining something from it, we will first and foremost fall more in love with him. And after that, we will use those to make our lives better. So we'll get on to the main topic, and I won't tell you what the topic is right now, but we'll go to a story before that. And the story is that a man, a naive man will say, he went to a Hakim. Now, Hakim is a herbalist, a person who is an expert in herbal medicine. And he said to that Hakim, he said to that doctor, he said that, give me such a medicine which will make me stay asleep during the day as well. And the Hakim, the doctor replied, that what kind of a person are you? How unwise are you? You are already spending half of your time, half of your life sleeping anyway, heedlessly. Now you want to spend the rest of your life sleeping as well. Whereas sleep is another name of death. And the man says that, I don't understand. How am I wasting my life? How I spent half of it wasting, and I'm going to spend more. And the Hakim, the doctor said, suppose you have a lifespan of 40 years. So the half of your life will be 20 years. Now you want to reduce it to 10 years. In other words, you're already spending 20 years of your life by sleeping at night. If you remain asleep during the day, it means you'll be spending another 10 years of your lifespan in sleep. Now what will you have in your hands to carry out good deeds for the preparation of hereafter when you only have 10 years left? And this is very true in our scenarios as well. If I'm 24 today, somebody might be 30, somebody might be 40. Before the age of 12, before someone becomes baligh, hits puberty, it's his life of childhood. He's busy playing, not worrying, just getting on with his life. From when he hits puberty, let's say 15, to be on the safe side, to 40. Now these years are the prime years of his life. These years are going to determine what he does with his life. We use this time period from the age of 15 to 25 to get an education, to start a business, to get married, to have a family, to prepare all our matters for this world. So we've spent our prime time in preparing for this dunya. Now, once you get over the age of 40, then you suddenly start having aches and pains and diseases and problems until you're looking forward towards your pension. And then before you know, your pension has come. And before you know, you left this world. So you tell me, in a person's life, what exactly has he earned? Even in terms of worldly matters, what has he earned in the world? He's probably got a big house, a nice car, got a few holiday homes, been on a few holidays. What more has he gained from his life? And what has he prepared for the hereafter? There was a king, a very, you can say, open-hearted, funny type of king. So once he invited the whole village to his palace, and he had a necklace, and he said that whoever is the most foolish person from you will be given this necklace. And there was a man there. And you know, we have like in within areas, people know that this brother is a bit not well. So they picked him. They go, oh, he's the most foolish and the most stupid and the idiot. And they're just cussing him out. So the king gave him that necklace. He goes, because of the kind of person you are, take it. Now what happened a few days, weeks, months later, the king fell ill. And when the king fell ill, the whole village once again came to visit him. So one by one, everyone is coming in front of the king, greeting the king, meeting the king, and then going, and then doing the same thing again and again and again. Now that man who the necklace was given to, and he was wearing that necklace, he came in front of the king. And he said to the king, oh king, what's the matter? And the king said, I'm going to die. And the man says, like, what's the big issue about dying? And the king goes, oh, you know, when you die, then there's a hereafter, and there's a day of judgment, and then you either go into paradise or you either go into hell, depending upon what you've done. And the man says that, look, king, you're so rich in this world. Have you sent some slaves forward? Have you sent some servants forward for where you're going to remain forever? The king says, no. That man says, you have such big houses in this world. Have you prepared or built some houses for where you're going to go and live for eternity? The king says, no. The man says that you have all of these luxuries present here at the click of your finger. What have you sent forward for where you're going to sit eternally? These are only with you until your last breath. What have you sent forward? And the king started crying. And he said that I have not sent anything forward. The man takes off the necklace. And he puts the necklace on the king. And he says that, oh king, people said that I was the most foolish. But I think you're more foolish than me. You prepared everything for a temporary time, for a temporary world, and prepared nothing for a place that you're going to go and stay for hereafter. You wasted your time. And that's the topic of today, wasting time. So then Imam Hassan Basri Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says that, oh people, you go through different stages whenever any night or day passes, it brings a stage to an end. After all your stages have come to an end, you reach a destination. It's like when you are climbing up a stairs, you go on the first stair, the second step, the third step, until you reach the destination, whether that's your bedroom, the bathroom, wherever you want to go through with them stairs, you go. Imam Hassan Basri says that like this, the day and the night are stages. And when each day passes, a stage is finished. When each night passes, a stage is finished. And then you reach your destination. And there is only two destinations. For a man, there's only one from the two. The first destination is the fire of hell. His actions, his work, his time wasting in this world has led him into the fire of hell. And the second destination is paradise. Time is such an essence in our lives that Allah has revealed a full surah about this. It says in the glorious Quran, chapter 30, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. Translation comes to Iman, by oath of this era of yours, meaning the era in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present. Indeed, man is surely in loss, except those who have accepted faith and did good deeds and urged the truth upon one another and urged one another to have patience. The renowned commentator of the glorious Quran, a great thinker of the Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah Alayhi, has stated, the real capital of a man in his life, meaning capital in terms of the business aspect and in terms of this, is what a person has done. The real capital of a man in his life, which he is wasting by committing disbelief and sin, by indulging in heedlessness, by seeking the world, by running after the world and the fun and the amusements. He does not spend his life for the betterment of the hereafter. Man is the trader and life is his shop and his deeds are the product. Allah. If the product's deeds are good, then it is Allah Azza wa Jal. He is the buyer and Jannah is the price. And if the deeds, if the stock, if the items are bad, then shaitan is the buyer and hell is the price. Now the price depends upon the product. Allahu Akbar, your deeds are your products. What kind of product are you selling? Who is the buyer of these products? If it's good, Allah will buy those and grant you the price of paradise in exchange for them. If your products are bad, shaitan will buy them. Shaitan will take them, and the price he will pay is the fire of hell into it. Imam Fakhruddin Razi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says that I was writing the tafsir. Imam Fakhruddin Razi is one of the greatest scholars of our religion. He was a great thinker, and in his commentary he writes that when he got to Surah Al-Asr, he says that I could not find a meaningful way to describe what this ayat of this surah of the Quran is regarding. And he goes that, one day I went outside and I understood the meaning of Surah Al-Asr from an ice seller, a person who was selling ice. And when he was selling ice in the marketplace, he was calling the people's attention towards him. And he was saying that, have mercy on the one whose capital is melting. Have mercy on the man who is selling ice on a hot day and his ice is melting. Have mercy on me and buy my stock. Hearing this, I said to myself, This is the meaning of innal insana lafi khusr, that a person, he is spending his life uselessly, he's wasting his life away, he's at loss, yet he does not comprehend, he does not contemplate, and he does not want to come out of this khasara, he does not want to come out of this loss. Imagine you had a business and you were taking loss in it. Loss after loss, you were taking loss in it. Wouldn't there come a time when you thought, enough is enough? I need to stop this. I need to shut this losses out. I need to move forward. I need to progress. I need to bring my business back on its feet. If we take this much extent in this much care in bringing back a dead business to life, then what about our dead hearts? What about our book of deeds, which is empty from good deeds, filled with bad deeds? When are we going to reflect upon that? You know, when we all, I'm assuming, have traveled to different countries, when we go through to the airport and we're going through security, before we go through security, when we're packing the bag at home, we open the bag up, we check it 50 million times to see that there's nothing inappropriate or illegal in the bag. Then we close it. And when the bag is going through the inspection, we're thinking, I hope it doesn't get pulled to the side. And then you get your bag and you move forward. In this world, we open our bag so many times to make sure there's nothing wrong in there, there's nothing illegal or bad in there which can get me into trouble. But when was the last time we opened our book of deeds? When was the last time we reflected upon ourselves and our book of deeds and thought to myself, maybe this thing might get me in trouble in the hereafter? Maybe this illegal thing I've done, maybe this illicit things I've done, maybe this haram things which I'm doing right now, this might be the reason I get stopped on the Day of Judgment. And in this world, the police will investigate and they will maybe leave you or give you some time and maybe your case is wrong. Whatever, there can be many things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His angels are prone from mistakes. There is never a mistake. There cannot be a mistake. So whatever you have sent forward is what they have received, is what they're going to check, and is what you're going to be judged by. And imagine if our book of deeds has more bad deeds than good deeds. Yet we have been given the chance right now to repent in the court of Allah, and Allah will forgive all of our sins. But إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Man is in loss. Man has the opportunity to get his sins forgiven. Man has the opportunity to ask Allah for repentance. Man has the opportunity to turn his life around. But man is in loss. He will continue to stay in loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except for those who believe and do good actions. You know, there's many people who have time, but they waste their time. They don't consider it to be a blessing of Allah. It's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari that the Prophet alayhi salam said that there are two such favors about which many people are in deception. Allahu Akbar, there's two favors which Allah has granted people, but they're in deception of it. They think that it's nothing, it's minor, it's small. One of them is health, and the other is leisure time. In terms of health, Imam Shafi'i says that health, siha, is a crown which the healthy wears, but only the sick can see. That the healthy person, he has health, Allah has granted him ability and physical capabilities to do things, but he does not thank Allah for this. He is in deception of these, and that ill person who is on his bed, that ill person who wishes he could stand on his feet to walk, he, when he looks at that healthy person, what must go through his head? What must go through his mind? So health is a great ni'mah of Allah. And the other is leisure time. You know, this free time we have. Ask the people who are occupied. Ask the scholars who are occupied. To such an extent that some scholars, not even so many scholars, they would only sleep for maybe a 2 or 3 hours a night, and the rest of their time they would just be busy serving the deen of Allah. And then there's some people who might only be occupied for only 3 hours in the whole day. The rest they either spend sleeping, playing video games, watching TV, just wasting their life away. Ask yourself, is your life being wasted away? Or is your life that which is benefiting the religion, which is benefiting you, which is benefiting your family? The Prophet ﷺ said that, value 5 things before 5. Meaning, value, have importance, think and remember about 5 things before 5. Think about your youth, value your youth before old age. Value your health before illness. Value your wealth before poverty. value your leisure time before being busy, and remember and value life before death. The first one the prophet mentioned, value your youth before old age. In this youth, which you are wasting away, which Allah has given to us, there are many people who don't make it to youth. There are people in their youth who are disabled. They can't do anything. If Allah has made you a young, healthy individual, use that to worship Allah. Don't use it to go away from Allah. I promise you, when you get older, you know, there's always a turning point in a person's life. If he takes it or not, that's a different thing. But there's always a turning point. A majority of the time, sadly, that turning point comes when a person is elderly, when he can see his grave, when he can see his death in front of him, that's when he wants to change. Imagine you change in your youth. You're the real man. You're the true bondsman of Allah. Allah, with pride, Allah openly and proudly mentions that individual who spends his youth in the worship of Allah. On the day of judgment, when there will be no shade except the shade of the arsh of Allah, that young man who spends his youth in the worship of Allah will be given it. When you worship Allah in your youth and in your elder age, you are unable to do so because of your old age, Allah will continue to grant you the reward. When you do good deeds in your youth, Allah will grant you physical health in old age to carry on those ibadat. This is the meaning of worship in youth. Allahu Akbar, when you're in old age, you know you're going to die. You can see in front of you. Life is very short. The iceberg, the ice is melted. Now these regrets. Now you wish, I wish I had not committed that haram. Now you're thinking, I wish I had not done that and that. But it's too late now. You've had your youth. You've had your time to either enjoy or worship Allah. Or you can worship and enjoy at the same time within the boundaries of Sharia. That's another problem, that we think that having fun has to be outside the boundaries of Sharia, when there are so many things within the boundary. Majority of things can be within the boundaries of Sharia if we just learn about it. Value your health before illness. Go ask the people in hospital. Go ask the people who have lost every part of their bodies, have become weak, they've lost their weight, they've lost their hairs, everything due to the medication. And today you stand in front of the mirror and you sow your hair, you sow your beard out maybe 10 times in the day. Ask the people that has lost all of that due to illness. Today you go to the gym, you're pumping iron, you're doing good, you're physically healthy. Ask the person who can't even go to the toilet himself. This is a blessing of Allah. Don't misuse it. Value your wealth before poverty. This is the one that really hurts. When Allah has given you wealth and you don't value your wealth, you misuse your wealth, and then Allah tests you with poverty, then you'll know. There are people, Allahu Akbar, they're so poor that they open their fast with the tears. They have nothing present. They have no food. They ask these questions, that we are so poor, we can't afford anything to eat. Can we open our fast with our tears? Think about this, my dear brothers. Imagine the little child who has to go sleep empty stomach. You have children. People in your family have children. If that children just squeals a little, everyone brings the milk and the bottles and the food and the nourishments and everything to satisfy that kid's hunger. Think about those people who have nothing to eat, who have nothing to put in their stomachs. Allahu Akbar. Value your leisure time before you get busy. Because when you get busy, and I mean really busy, maybe you won't find time for your religion. Maybe you won't find time for your family. Maybe you won't find time for your parents. Maybe you won't even have time for yourself. You'll be in this loop. You'll be in this matrix that you just have to, you're just occupied by so many things that have come upon you that you cannot have any leisure time. And this is not a good thing. I'm telling you, you have to have a balanced life. You have to have certain priorities, such as your family, and even before your family, the religion. Imagine you find yourself so busy that you don't have time to pray. Nigrani Shura, he says a very beautiful thing. He says that, I fear the day that I might say to somebody that I am too busy, that I don't have time to do the work of need. It's very common today, you ask a brother to come to the masjid, he goes, brother, I don't have time. You tell a brother to do something of goodness, he'll be like, bro, I ain't got time. Who haven't you got time for? Have you ever thought about this? That you ain't got time for Allah? You ain't got time to come to the house of Allah? You ain't got time to praise the beloved of Allah? You ain't got time to study with the people of Allah? If you don't have time for Allah today, How do you expect Allah to make you enter paradise? So in the Quran Surah says, I fear the day that these words are on my tongue, that I'm too busy to do the work of deen. I'm too busy to give time to my religion. That religion which is the purpose of my life, I'm too busy for that. This is the greatest illusion and delusion a person can be in. And the last thing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, al-hayat qabla al-maut, that life before death. This is the greatest regret a person will have if he has wasted his life and after death he finds out that he's wasted his life. Allahu Akbar. The only thing we have today, the only thing which we will ever have in this world is al-Iman. And imagine if a person's Iman gets wasted. Now he will be in punishment for eternity. Eternity is a concept which we cannot comprehend. There is nothing, there is no example that can be given to make you understand the vastity of infinite or eternity. But just think of it this way, that if you went to the biggest desert in the world, which is the Sahara Desert, and you picked up a grain of sand, and you waited 1,000 years before picking the second one up, and you waited 1,000 years before you picked the third one up, you would be able to move the whole Sahara Desert from one side to the other side, yet eternity would not finish. There are probably billions of trillions and trillions and trillions of particles of sand in the Sahara Desert. And times that by 1,000, and that's how many years we're talking. No, we're not talking minutes or hours or seconds, we're talking years. And that figure which you will come to will not be equivalent to eternity. And if you lose your Iman in this world, if you lose your faith in this world, if you lose your connection with the Prophet in this world, then like the Prophet said, value five things before five. Then you will have lost the value of life at death. And if you have lost your Iman, you've lost everything. But if you've kept your Iman, you've kept everything. The day makes the announcement daily, meaning every day when the sun rises, there is an announcement made. If you want to perform any good deeds today, then do it because it will never return. Allahu Akbar. The day makes an announcement that if you want to do good deeds, do them today. Do them now. Now is your chance. Now is your time. Because I will not return again. I will not come back again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who value our time. There was so much more that could have been said about this topic. There was so much more that we could have gained from this topic. But because we're short on time and we have to... that's another very important thing. You have to be punctual. You have to respect time. If you've given somebody a time, you should try to come on time. It's a very bad habit of hours that we'll give an person a time to come. I will come 20 minutes, half an hour late and act like everything's fine. It's not fine. If you've given your word to somebody, if you promise somebody, try to live up to that word. Try to live up to that promise. And on that note, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive any mistakes that have been made. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true love of Him and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah make us value our time. Ameen bijahin nabi al-ameen wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salwa al Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
He brought us the light of guidance and salvation. He brought us the light of guidance and salvation. The majestic Prophet, alayhi salam.